Job chapter 38, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? And what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" Then over to verse 34. "Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'? Who gives the ibis wisdom or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars from the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why does a tree limb happen to fall on somebody and change his life forever? Why does God allow a young child to die, or a parent of young children? Why are freak accidents permitted when they hurt, kill, and destroy? This last September, many of us were reminded of exactly where we were on that day some 20 years ago when the Twin Towers in New York City fell. And we remembered one. Pastors receive some of the toughest questions in the world. They're the toughest questions because they usually hit so close to home, and yet there is no real satisfying direct answers for many of our why questions. Yes, usually we could come up with a philosophical answer, or maybe even a theological answer that points to God's overall goodness in this broken and fallen world. But in the end, those answers don't really comfort us when we're the end after a death or a tragedy or a freak accident, wondering why. Job is a classic book of the Bible on human suffering and human beings asking God the why question. Job lost everything, his family, his money, his some horrible things happened to Job. Oh, he had some friends who would stop by every once in a while, but how much of a help were they? What kind of comfort were they? They saw the world in black and white terms. Job must have done something wrong to deserve what he got. He must have sinned against God, they thought. They were working so hard to justify, willing to throw their buddy Job under the fence. "Surely you deserve this in some way, Job." Job didn't think so. In fact, he argued his innocence before his friends and before God. Sure, he wasn't perfect, but comparatively speaking, from a human perspective, he's a pretty good human being. And he would argue that. Better life. That's the rub. Comparing ourselves to other people. That too causes us to wonder why. Why me and not him? Why my child, not hers? Why the young and not the old? Why? 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 The question why can cause us to question some of the things that we've been taught about who God is, too. We begin to question God's goodness. Maybe God purposely designed a world that is dark, a world that has tricks and traps. Or maybe we begin to question power and sovereignty. Maybe he's not as powerful as I thought he was if evil is allowed to do so much in our world. I just wonder, where would my mind go if I lived through something like the Holocaust, Nazi Germany, or had to fight through the jungles of Vietnam, or was left grieving as a grieving family member after a death of a loved one of the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001, deals with a very real human subject here. Where is God in the suffering? Why? Why, God? It's not pleasant to talk about. We don't like to think about it because it is so real to our experience and it usually hits home. But the answer God gives Job here to Job, many complaints and arguments throughout the book, it's very unexpected, don't you think? Some would say it's downright unhelpful or evasive. Does God answer all of Job's questions and give us a detailed explanation for why God did what he did or allowed to happen? No, he doesn't. Instead, God basically takes Job to the zoo. He takes him on a safari. He shows him a PBS Nova Nature special on the wonders of nature. It's a weird response, to say the least. And we only read a small portion of God's answer to Job here, which spans some four chapters, 38 to 41. God goes on, giving example after example, illustration after illustration, question after question for Job himself. But he doesn't really address the deep, troubling question the question of why. Instead, he kind of reframes Job's questions and his arguments and puts them in a broader perspective. Bigger context. Because when we're suffering, when we're in the middle of grief, when we can only feel the pain, our world tends to become really, really small around us. Sometimes all we can do is feel the darkness. All we can experience is the pain. All we can see is the trouble, the tragedy, the evil, the loss. When we're smack dab in the middle of what is broken, it's very hard for us to see what might be going well in the world. What's actually working still. So God reframes Job's questions and he gets him out of his small, small frame of mind, at least for a little while. And yes, God puts Job and all of us mortals in our proper place this morning too. So chapter 38, verses 1 through 3 begins, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm." The word there is whirlwind. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." Literally, the words used there is, "Gird up your loins, Job, as if you're getting ready for battle. Take your robe and tie it up around your waist so you can be ready to run and go into battle. Present yourself in all of your vigor and strength, Job." You see, Job has been questioning God's actions, but he's also, I think, been questioning his character and intentions too. He has wondered if God gave light only to illumine just how dark and horrible this world is. He seems to think that God may have had some dark purpose in creating the world and everything in it. Job also questions God's sense of justice. Either God is being unjust or he's just indifferent to justice issues and issues of fairness. Maybe he's indifferent to the suffering of his creatures. He questions God's goodness, God's compassion. So in this looky here now moment, Job and all of humanity are addressed by God himself directly. Brace yourself, gird up your loins. And in response, God basically asks Job these three kinds of questions. Who are you? Where were you, and are you able? Who are you? Where were you, and are you able? And Job's only response or implied response is, "I am nothing. I was not there, and I'm not able. I am nothing. I was not there, and I'm not able." Hence, God is putting him in his place as a created being who's not privy to the answers to all of the why questions that we have. Maybe God knows he can't handle it. Maybe he knows we couldn't handle it. Instead of answering and explaining why bad things sometimes happen to good people, God directs our attention to the vastness of the universe, the dimensions of space, the stars in the sky, the depths of the ocean, the diversity of animals in the world, the variety and uniqueness of the animals like the donkey and the ostrich, eagles and hippos. God talks about the power of thunderstorms and especially the lightning bolts. God reframes the issues in light of God's creative goodness, power, and sovereignty of the whole universe. We get a very clear sense here that creation matters to God. The environment matters to God. His creatures and his creatures' habitats matter to God. And we better pay attention to that. We better understand this, because if the material world matters to God, well, it better matter to us too. If God's creatures and that God's habitats that he's created for them matter to God, well, it should matter to us as well. So in response to Job's deeply disturbing questions about life and justice and fairness, about God's goodness and his ability to care for his creation, God shows Job the natural world. He shows him the natural world, parts of which Job will never see. He's never seen before. And yet, God cares for it all. God cares for it all. So first, in verses 4 through 7, God reminds Job of the good news of creation, that this wasn't a bad or evil thing, where even the stars rejoiced. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. This is good news when God said those words, let there be light. Remember, after God created everything, as it says in Genesis 1, God called it all good. And humanity, as the crown of his creation, he called very good. It was a good thing when God spoke those words. It wasn't for some dark purpose, some evil intention on God's part to shed light on the world just to show how dark it is. So then in verses 8 through 11 that we didn't read this morning, verses 8 through 11, God talks about how he's putting limits on the sea. God made the boundaries for the chaotic and the dangerous, destructive powers of the oceans of the world. And just as he's put limits on the chaotic and dangerous oceans of the world, he puts limits on evil as well. Who shuts up the sea behind doors when it bursts forth from the womb? When I said, thus far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. Back in chapter 1, Satan is limited by God. He's not able to kill Job. God limits Satan. God limits evil. See, good and evil are not equal forces like the yin and yang of Chinese philosophy and religion. God and the goodness of God is superior and sovereign. Always. Always. But we do live in a world that includes things like the dangers of the sea, the dangers of Satan and his evil influence on people. But God has placed his limits on the sea, and he has limited evil and chaos thus far and no further. The mere fact that the world includes elements of chaos and danger and evil, it doesn't mean that God's not good. It doesn't mean that he's indifferent to justice issues or that he's uncaring or he's unconcerned. So God takes Job and he takes all of us from the foundations of the earth to the vastness of the oceans to the immensity of space to the mysteries of death even, verse 17. Have the gates of death been shown to you, Job? You see, Job, there's so much of just human existence that you haven't experienced yet. And here you are questioning God's goodness, power, and control. Where were you? Who are you? Are you able? Then beginning with verse 34, God addresses the weather and animal life. Verse 35, he says, do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are. God distributes rain in season and on time. He rules the weather and the orderly movement of the constellations in the sky. Even the so-called badlands of the earth where human beings can't grow crops very well, God is there too. God is caring for and providing for creatures who live in these badlands and these deserts, parts of creation that we might not ever know even exist. God is there too. The world is much bigger than Job can see right now in the midst of his suffering. And God's plans are bigger too. So God goes on to talk about the many wild and free animals of the world who are under God's watchful and providential eye. God seems to go on the hunt with the lioness, for example, to provide food for the young. He soars with the ravens in order to bring food back to the young who are squawking out to God. In all of it, God is there. He didn't just leave creation after he made it. God is still providentially in control. and he is intimately involved in his creation. Yes, even in a world that is broken, full of sin, and where at the moment evil and wickedness and chaos seem to have a place and a purpose. We don't know why. But as creatures of God ourselves, we cannot see God's grand design or plans. We cannot answer all of our why questions. Neither can our pastors. But just because God's plans are dark to us doesn't mean that they are dark or that he has a mean or evil intent or purpose in his creation. So the book of Job hits home for a lot of people. There are many who seem to be pretty good people, humanly speaking, comparatively speaking, from a human understanding, and yet they've suffered so much in their lifetimes. Some of our young people have suffered more than some people we know who are living into their 90s. If we're honest about what we've gone through or what we're going through right now, we can relate to Job. We can relate to his life, his suffering, and his why questions. You see, being a good person, a Christian, a faithful believer, doesn't guarantee a life that's free of pain or suffering or struggle. So when bad things happen to good people, when we struggle in this life, we're put in that place. And we ask the question, why? We wrestle with our friends in the world who seem to have all the answers, but their answers often seem to compound the suffering, intensify the struggle. I think God wants us to ask the why questions, though, to struggle to find meaning in the suffering, so that we could see where God might be in it. And we wrestle with God because we cannot see the bigger picture or how God is going to use our suffering for good in this world or in our lives as he's promised to do so. It takes faith to believe that God can and will turn our suffering for good. God continues to providentially rule over our lives and this world. Though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Just as God is on the hunt with the lioness, he's with me in the hospital room. He's near you when you have to have that difficult conversation with your teenager. He continues to put food on the table when the funds seem to be drying up. And all the while, he's been caring for you and loving you through your suffering and your pain. He's also, you know what? He's also been maintaining the salinity of the oceans for all the creatures who live there. He's been keeping the earth at just the right distance from the sun to sustain life. He's been looking after and loving billions of others too. You see, that's a bigger picture that we have a very difficult time seeing when we are in the midst of the loss and the grief, the pain and the suffering. I believe the book of Job cautions us to be careful about enforcing our human sense of justice or fairness on God, whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God just doesn't dispense rewards and punishments according to our human calculations of good and evil and what is fair. We hoped we'd get a well-reasoned response, an explanation from God here in this, his response to Job, but instead we got the ostrich, we got the donkey. We got the raven, we got the whale, the lion, we got the stars. Later on, when everyone will be looking for an army to save them from an evil Roman Empire, and that was their sense of justice, that God would send an army to save them politically, God instead would send a baby born in a manger, born among the animals. We don't know all the answers, but we do know God the Creator who became God the Redeemer in Jesus, his only Son. Who knows, this wonder-working God still might work a wonder in your life and in the suffering that you are going through right now. But we do know by faith, an informed faith, that one day God will work a wonder and will satisfy our every question, calming our every fear, and healing all of our diseases. And he'll wipe away every tear from our eye. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Wonder-working and loving Heavenly Father, sometimes we do struggle with you, with our friends, with our own sinfulness, and what happens to us in this life, and we cannot help but ask why. Sometimes life just is hard and doesn't feel very fair or just. Help us not to despair in our weakness, Lord, or doubt your goodness, power, or compassion. Give us some perspective when our world has become so small due to pain or illness or loss. And help us to delight in your creation, your providence in the world all around us, to be reminded of the things that are working and going well. Help us to remember all that is good and right and beautiful when we get so focused on the evil or the brokenness or the ugly that is around us. God, you are good. You are holy. You are loving, and we praise your name today. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen.